Hi, I'm Alexis, and this is What You Watchin'. And today we have a very special guest. I'm joined by my friend Leo from Geekly Goods because we both watched The Creator and we're going to talk about it. So, Leo, let's just jump right into it. What did you think of this movie?
Oh man, I really like The Creator. To me, my first thought after the film was, this feels like a new sci-fi classic. It feels like a new original sci-fi property, which I think we've really been craving for the longest time, but you've got these influences from all kinds of other sci-fi movies. Like we were just talking before, there's Akira, Rain Man. It's got all these Apocalypse Now. It's got all these other references in it, but really, what is at the core of this movie is John David Washington and the young actress who plays Alfie. I cannot remember her name off the top of my head, but they have such a good chemistry throughout this entire movie that it has me emotionally gripped through the whole thing. Now, I had seen some maybe criticisms of the two of them online. I'm like, I gotta disagree. I gotta come out the gate and say that I think they are the emotional heart of this movie. And if not for the two of them, I mean, I would not be as reeled in as I was. They were so good together, and they have this father son or father daughter, excuse me, dynamic throughout the movie. And as you're starting to see certain storylines unravel, their characters just get so much growth throughout it. And I love the visuals. I mean, let me tell you, $80 million to do a job like this, that is just so like realistic looking and so
Yes.
like beautifully visual that
Completely
I don't
agree.
know how like MCU isn't like looking at this and saying, okay, we got to get Gareth Edwards on something because, come
Yeah.
on, $80 million to create a new dystopian world feels
Yeah.
unheard of in today's time. I mean,
It's
we just saw Indiana
wild.
Jones and it was worse
Yeah.
looking.
That's what I kept
So.
thinking too. The whole time I kept thinking, like, how did Indiana Jones cost $400 million? And this movie is like not even a little percentage of that. This costs what the catering on Indiana Jones costs.
Right.
And yet it looks beautiful. Like every
It's
single
so
frame of
good.
this was gorgeous, which we knew because I mean, like when you look at Rogue One, it's a beautiful movie
Oh,
visually,
yeah.
like it's gorgeous. So I think like we knew the visuals were going to be strong, but I was not anticipating such an amazing. I mean, you mentioned original sci-fi. I think that's such a huge part of why I liked this was like, we are very much into like late stage franchise mania. Everything is a sequel,
Yeah.
everything is a reboot, everything is all that. We don't really have like those original ideas in terms of like giant big blockbuster films, you know? I mean, you can argue like Barbie and Oppenheimer, but I think that's very much a unique situation. Like we don't get a
Very.
Barbie and an Oppenheimer every year. So
Right.
I think to have something like this that is its own idea, and obviously you can see like references and thematic things that are pulled from other places, but it really is its own thing. And to have
Yeah.
that like be this successful, work this well on like a narrative level, work this well on a visual level, and it feels like a movie that's like, oh, well, that's like a $300 million movie. And
It does.
yet, it's amazing to me to have something like that. What a huge accomplishment. So yeah, I very much the same. I was blown away. John David Washington, I just like he was spectacular. The little girl, I gotta look up what's Madeline Una Voiles, maybe. I don't know how to pronounce her last name. We'll learn it because she'll be around for a while.
Yeah, she's gonna be in some movies coming up, I'm sure, after this one.
Absolutely. Yeah, I just their performances were just amazing to me. I think just like the visuals alone. I mean, like when you look at what can be accomplished here with VFX, I was blown away, you know? I couldn't believe it. I think like
Yeah.
the robot effects were amazing. The ship that they have, the Nomad, very Rogue One vibes, but like in the best possible way, because I loved that like last bit of Rogue One where all the sort of visual things and the Death
Yeah.
Star and all that. I was getting total nods of that in ways that I loved. I just, oh my God, I loved
Even the
it.
droids in this movie, I mean, you've got these AI and artificial intelligence beings running around in this film that look very settled into this world. I mean, they look believable, they look organic, and I'm like, 80 million 80 million, and there's a lot of them running around through this movie. You don't just get like one or two guys.
Totally.
Like, there's a lot of technology running rampant through this movie that seems to be like far over an $80 million budget, but somehow he's kept it in that box and made it look so realistic. I mean, the humans, even that are part AI, they look real. It doesn't look weird. It doesn't look unbelievable. It just looks so good.
Totally. Yeah. I was like the blend of sort of like live action and then the enhanced stuff with CG, the sort of droids, like it's a very like lived in sci-fi world. And I think that's one of the things you always praise about Star Wars is it just feels very like lived in. It feels like, oh yeah, well this stuff is there and it's been there and everybody just sort of, this is what they use and this is how it is. And it's kind of like it's rusty or it's worn or whatever. And this totally had that feel to it in its own way. Like it felt like Star Wars-y, but not like a ripoff of Star Wars. And I think that was so impressive. I agree with you on the kind of mixture of the humans who were kind of part AI, really, really cool. The design of that, of having the kind of like whole thing in their head where you can see like, you know, cogs turning and spokes and things. It felt like old school, but also really modern at the same time in a really cool new way. Very fresh ideas coming through here.
Yeah, very cool ideas. Very cool lore in the world as well. That's very easy to get into. It didn't really drop you into this overcomplicated world that was hard to understand, which I think that could sometimes be the fault of movies like Dune and things that have just a much heavier sci-fi lore outside of just the core story. But here it just really fits in. I mean, we really, it's like a post-apocalyptic world where AI has really just taken over in a way that has kind of loosened our control and we don't have as much control over it. But I love where they went with artificial intelligence here. And I just think it's super easy to get into.
Yeah,
I'm glad that it's just not too hard to chew on.
Yeah, I thought that was really interesting too. You know, so much of the time when you have these sci-fi movies or something that's post-apocalyptic, you have a lot of, like there'll be like the opening crawl or there'll be like some sort of prologue or some sort of voiceover of, you know, the world has changed and, you know, in the year, whatever the AI did this. And we have that like very, very briefly kind of like a, hey, here's where we're at. And then they're kind of like, you get it, like drops you right in. It's sort of like, they know you're going to connect to the characters and they know like the performances are going to be strong enough that you're like, yeah, okay, I'm on board. You know, like you don't need the really extensive setup of the lore. And like, I also thought about Dune because I thought like Dune is so dense and complex and there's just so many things to it that you're kind of like, okay, I'm like vibing to these visuals, but there's like a whole bunch going on here, you know? And with this, it was like, yeah, exactly. It was like Dune is so like, that's a lot, you know? And with this, it was cool to be like, you know what? Like, you don't need all the stuff. This isn't like a pre-existing thing. Like, you don't need to know like a book. You don't need to have a whatever. Like, there's not like a graphic novel this is based on. Like, we're just going to put you into this. You're going to get into the movie. You'll get it. You'll be on board, you know? And I think that's like a confidence in filmmaking of knowing that, like, you got it. It's post-apocalyptic. There's robots. You got it. You know?
Like, it's on you. You got it. You, the audience member, you can do it.
Exactly. Like, faith in the audience that we don't need, like, a 15-minute, like, voiceover opening crawl sequence to, like, get us on board, you know?
We're good. I promise. We got it.
Exactly. Yeah, I thought it was incredible. I think, it's simplified storytelling in a lot of ways. And I could see where people might be like, it could be one dimensional or they're like blazing past this too quickly. I didn't feel that way, but I could see where like maybe that would be a complaint that people would have of like, well, it's kind of too boiled down. But I actually really appreciated that because to me, it makes it where I can kind of take my time with the characters more. And I think because these performances are so strong, it never felt oversimplified. It never felt like bloated with lore. It also never felt way too like absent of lore. So I think it was like it really hit that right amount to me of world building without overwhelming you and without giving you like nothing to where you have to piece together too many things.
100% agree. It wasn't over expositionary when it could have been. We could have just had exposition dump after exposition dump after, and they really worked their way around it by describing a couple of things, but really showing us the process for the most part. Totally. Like, we've got a lot of scenes here that show you instead of tell you everything. So yes. I'm glad that it didn't rely so much on the exposition. It just leaned into things happening within the world. And this, I mean, we can say it almost has a little bit of a journeyman vibe similar to Mad Max. Mm-hmm. In the sense that you are on the run for a lot of this movie. And I do like that quick pacing it's got going for it throughout most of the movie. I like it. I think that it helps it keep urgent. You know what I mean? It gives us a sense of urgency. And once we get through the movie, I mean, the journey is well worth it, in my opinion. I thought that it was a great payoff, but I just think that it keeps us running through sort of Mad Max-ish in that nature, where it's mm-hmm. just, it keeps us on the road the whole time. I like it a lot.
I was getting very like, there's like Mad Max, there's a little bit of Blade Runner in there.
Yeah, there's Blade Runner heavy.
Yeah, there's like, but in kind of its own way, I feel like so many sci-fi movies, like, it's like, well, it's kind of like Blade Runner. Like, Blade Runner is just one of those things that's like everywhere. It's like Star Wars. Like,
right.
You're going to get Blade Runner and Star Wars in pretty much everything that came after Blade Runner mm-hmm. and Star Wars. And I think with this, you get that a little bit, but it kind of does it in its own way, where it doesn't feel too reliant on things that came before it. It's like, I think mm-hmm. about like with Tarantino movies, there's always like a bajillion references to things, but mash it all together, it becomes its own unique thing. And I kind of felt like that with this, where it was like, okay, I can spot like, oh, this is Blade Runner. This is mm-hmm. what he did in Rogue One. This is blah, blah, blah. You know, like these different things. But when you kind of put it all together, it becomes its own original thing in a way that feels really refreshing. And you're like, I understand the references and I understand the nods, but it's not just references and nods. It stands on its own too, you know?
Yeah, it does. Yeah, what did you think about Gemma Chan and her character?
It's so funny because like I feel like I from Eternals, I'm kind of like, oh God. Like every time I see her, I'm like, I hope she has something. You know, like I hope they let her do something in this movie. And like I would have liked for her to have a little more to do. That was my only thing, was as I was watching it, there was a little bit of like, huh, so our female characters are kind of not as important here or whatever, you know, like, okay. But I think that it was done in a way that I was like, okay, like I get it. It served the story to where I never felt like they're kind of like she's being brushed aside. I felt like, well, she's kind of more of like she exists for like thematic purposes more so
than character
or plot purposes. And I was like, that's fine. It serves the story. It works here. So I was like, overall, it's fine for me. You know?
I'm with you though. I wanted a little bit more of her and that character. I think it's a big thematic purpose for this film. And I was like, okay, I think we needed maybe one or two more scenes with her, but she was still good for the scenes that she was in. She was great. I would have just liked a little bit more, because I think that's my biggest problem with this movie, is I want to see it one more time. Because I think I'm a little confused with some of the messaging. Like, I get the AI, I get some of the kind of war and kind of imperialistic elements and themes are going with. I just think I'm a little confused by some of the other stuff. There's definitely a Chosen One narrative going on. And then definitely some more religious themes happening. And I'm just like, okay, my mind is trying really hard to piece those together. There's some Adam and Eve references going on. I'm just like, okay, I really want to see what all these allegories are piecing to in this movie. Like, I'm kind of trying to connect the dots still. And I think that might be, for me, the biggest miss of the movie is sometimes, I think for me at least, the messaging gets a little lost sometimes. Mm-hmm. And I just think that sometimes it could be trying to tell too much. You know, there's environmentalism, there's race wars, there's all kind of things going on here. And sometimes I think there's so much happening that it's like, okay, what's the payoff of all of them? Because I think that some of them get a little lost in translation. Like, it's like, okay, well, the AI isn't trying to say that the AI people like really all fit in. Like I'm trying to kind of piece some things together still. That one more watch would just correct for me, I think.
Totally. Yeah, I totally feel you there. I think like it's it deals with so many like gigantic themes that it does kind of that you can lose some of those themes sometimes, or you can kind of like, okay, we touched on this, but did you want to get deeper into that? Because, you know, we touched on like the, like you said, like the, you know, sort of the race war element is certainly in there a lot of like the way that that's portrayed. We get like all very like Vietnam allusions and stuff in
here.
Yeah. You know, there's so many different things that are kind of like, and it's in there and it's part of it, but also we got to do this. And this exists and this is a big theme. And you can kind of figure that out on your own, because also we're going over here, you know? So in a way, the effort to keep that pace really fast, which I appreciate that this is not like a 3.5 hour movie, because it totally could be. I do think maybe like another like 10 or 15 minutes, we could have maybe realized a couple of those things a little bit more. But yeah, I'm with you. I, as I was watching it, I was so kind of curious of like, where is this going and where is the plot and where, like, what's going to happen here, that I was like, I need to watch this another time just for like, now that I know where it's going, I really want to like absorb it a little bit more.
Yeah.
And feel some of those themes a little more and check out some of those things that kind of, I felt like, oh, okay, we kind of went past this and I was already on the next thing, but like, I want to see that scene again, or I want to relive this moment or listen to this dialogue again, you know?
Yeah. It reminds me of The Green Knight from last year, where there's just all these big ideas presented in the movie, but it's a journey movie. So like, as you're going on this journey, you're so hooked into the main characters and their outcome that it can be easy to miss those bigger things that are going on.
Totally.
So it's like Green Knight. I got to go back and get another watch, because I'm like, I got to see what were they doing over here? Why this allegory here? Like, I just want to know. I want to know more. Totally. I definitely want to know a little more.
Yeah, for sure. I'm with you on that one. Yeah, I think like, overall, though, I just was so impressed with this. I think we've been kind of spoiled this year, even though it's like a weird year for Hollywood. Hollywood's going through a slightly weird time right now.
Yeah.
We've got some really impressive movies this year and really impressive original movies this year. You know, I mean, if it's, you know, things like Barbie and Oppenheimer or this, or things that have gone on streaming or whatever, it's been kind of impressive how there have been new and fresh ideas. Like, I don't think we've had that for quite some time. And it's so nice to see that. And I really hope that continues. I hope we get more stuff like this.
Because it feels like even new franchises have started their own movies. I mean, Dungeons and Dragons earlier this year, Barbie. They even like the franchises that weren't in the movie game are starting out with some very fresh movies that don't necessarily... They weren't necessarily what you would think. I mean, when you think of like a Dungeons and Dragons movie, you're thinking like full on Lord of the Rings, but it's like, no, that was like very much a Shrek meets Guardians of the Galaxy meets medieval times type of movie.
Totally.
And Barbie, I mean, you would probably think of something completely different, like a children's animated film, but it's very much a very relatable of all ages group film. So I love how these movies that are based off of big franchises decided to go different directions and directions that weren't so, what's the word, kind of generic, where they could have just went the MCU route, they could have just done the goofy humor thing, but they decided to really put their own stamp on it. So
totally.
Just yeah, when very you compare good year for that.
Like Barbie to something like Ant-Man, it's like, wow. You can take something that's like pre-existing, or that's like a, you know, basically a toy movie, and make something that's really original and cool about it. And I feel like, I Dungeons and Dragons, same, like that movie was a blast. We probably won't get another one, because, you know, things didn't do well, but
yeah,
I hope we
box
do.
Office.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, you know, it's there are, you can do franchises in a way that is interesting and new. And maybe this, you know, depending on box office, maybe this will become a franchise. But it's like, there are original ways to handle movies. There are original ways to tell stories. The creator is such a perfect example. You can be inspired by a lot of things, but you can still tell a story in a unique and original and fresh way. And I think that's like to me what was so impressive. I just, as I was watching it, I was like, oh, this is exactly like, this is new and cool and visually awesome with good performance. Like, this is a well-made film, and it's mm-hmm. also something that's like sci-fi and cool. This should be such a big deal. And I really hope that this movie does well, because I want to encourage this.
Yeah. I'm wondering how this one's going to do on the amongst the general audience. I know that some critics are having some issues already with it, but I think for me, I really, really, really like this movie. There's something preventing me from saying I loved it, and I think it is a bit of the confusion of the themes and the over-presentation of the messages sometimes, but otherwise, I really like the movie. I'm wondering how the general audience is going to like it. Is this going to be a next Star Wars? I don't know that it's going to be a franchise or anything like that. I don't know what that ending, if I could see it being a franchise. Yeah. But I wonder where this could go. Could we start getting more original movies back again? Because with Barbie and Oppenheimer and that phenomena, maybe this could be some kind of other effect to where studios finally start putting money into movies that are original again. Yes. Fresh ideas, new stuff.
That'd be so good.
I think we're all overdue for that. I just think we're franchised out. You can see it with the Ant-Man box office earlier this year. We're franchised out. Mm-hmm, I think people are just kind of over it. Jurassic World 50, we're at the MCU 32nd movie or such. Yeah. I love the MCU, I do, but we're getting bogged down with just so much franchise stuff.
Yeah, franchise fatigue has for sure started to set in, and I hope that the message they take away is like, hey, maybe we should make some original stuff, because it seems like people might be on board with that to the tune of $1 billion for Barbie. Like, seems like maybe people might want that type of thing. You
know? Yeah, I think we're overdue for that. We're overdue.
For real. For real. But yeah, I would say so overall, like, this movie gets a huge recommendation for me. I will go so far as to say I loved it, because I want to watch it again. But the experience of watching it, I just, like, the credits rolled and I was like, I love this movie.
You were instantly in love right after.
I was. You were like, what'd you think? And I was like, I loved it. I loved it so much.
Yeah, it was good. Really, really good.
Totally. So yeah, I would say this is a big recommend from both of us. We both really enjoyed this one, and you know, we're keeping this spoiler free for now, but you know, we loved it, and we'll just tell you that you should check it out. We thought it was really great.
Yes.
And more check original sci-fi movies like this, please.
More. Yes, we need some more. And you know what? No more legacy sequels. Blade Runner 20, the next Blade Runner was good, but we don't need no more.
Exactly. Let's just do some new things. Let's get some new stuff going on, new ideas. We're ready for it.
New stuff.
Awesome. All right. Well, I feel like I think we kind of said what we needed to say. So check this movie out. We really liked it. If you watch or listen to this, leave us a comment and let us know if you see the movie and you love it. Like, comment, subscribe, all the things. Follow the socials. I'll put Leo's socials in the comments. I'll put my socials in the comments. You know, you can find us all over the place. We're also on Blue Sky. You can find us there too. So thank you so much for watching, and we will catch you in the next one.